You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast, where we look at ways that we can come together to work together to help each other as we minister. And today we have Miss Rebecca Talbot, who is with us. Rebecca lives in Gallatin with her husband, Chris, and her two sons, William and James Elliott, and they are expecting their third son this spring. Rebecca is the women's resident director at Welch College. She also owns a photography business and is a youth volunteer alongside her husband at Sylvan Park Church there, right, Rebecca?
Yes,
Rebecca also has a music education degree. She graduated from Welch College in 2012 and taught there in the Pitt County Public Schools for a little over 2 years, teaching music and other issues there. Well, thank you so much, Rebecca, for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So you're a mom and got another little person on the way here.
Yes.
Coming in the spring. So you've been focusing a lot about how to shepherd your child's heart. So you've already been doing this. You're going to be doing it some more as well. Tell us a bit about how we can shepherd our children's heart.
Yeah, so when I was first expecting William, Dr. Pinson actually recommended a book to me.
Yes.
Called Shepherding a Child's Heart.
Uh-huh.
And so, of course, I thought I need to read that book.
Yes.
And I got it, and Chris and I both read it, and we loved it because it encouraged us to focus on our child's heart, which we know throughout Scripture, Jesus talks about how our behaviors flow from our heart. And so that book has been really helpful in encouraging us in how we discipline and how we talk to our children.
Yes.
I'm no expert, but I love referring back to this book and this topic.
Well, you say you're no expert, but you're doing it.
Okay.
You're right in the middle of it. And you're working with young people as well in a dorm setting. So you mentioned discipline. So tell us a bit about how we can shepherd our child's heart and the way we're disciplining our children as they come up.
Yeah, so what really challenged me, part of the topic in the book, talked about how we, and especially me, tend to look at outward behaviors, even things that may be annoying to me. And so especially my kids, you know.
Yes.
If they sit down and be quiet, then I'm thinking, oh, they're being a good kid.
Right.
And so focusing more on why are they doing what they're doing, or the motivations behind the behavior. So I guess in regards to discipline, I'll use my sons for example. If they run after a toy,
yes,
and I just say, who had it first?
Mm-hmm.
And just use that as my discipline of, you had it first, you didn't play. Then I'm really missing the heart of selfishness or
right.
of pride or preferring yourself over others. And so that has been the biggest challenge to me in regards to discipline for my own kids. And I know that applies to even college students, you know, about why are you doing the things that you're doing?
So you said a couple of things there. First of all, just because they're quiet, don't be all happy about that. Why is it that they're quiet? Could they be sulking? Could they be hurt? Could they be angry? Or could everything be just good, just fine, and they're processing or they're thinking something through? So what I hear you saying is you're focused a lot about intentionally parenting your child. So when you want to watch something or post something on social media, no, you're thinking about why is my kid quiet? You're focused on that. And then what we have a tendency to do, well, why are y'all arguing, and try to mete out some discipline. You're saying, think about what's behind it. Think about the heart and so forth, and where something happened, why something went along. So it sounds like this is really, you're trying to do this as a mother, be very intentional in how you raise these kids, how you help them to come to know the Lord, and you help them along. What else have you learned and been trying to enact as a mother?
Keeping with, I guess, the same theme as discipline, I've learned, especially, you know, from this topic about how discipline isn't just rebuke, or,
yes,
you know, it's not just it mentioned that a lot of times we think of it as rules, correction, rebuke.
Yes.
And discipline can go a lot deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Encouragement, prayer together. There's just so many other types of communication that you can have with mm-hmm. your children instead of just don't do this. And so that's easy for me to do. That's the easy thing is to say, don't do that and walk away mm-hmm. and be done. And so trying to have deeper conversations mm-hmm. or maybe leading by example in like ways of discipline or encouraging them.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a big challenge for me to go beyond just saying, don't do this.
Okay.
Do that.
Good. So the scripture talks a lot about discipline and yeah. especially the Proverbs. And
yeah.
so what you're saying that you kind of have learned that it's more than do this, don't do this. It's more than, rebuke
yeah.
because you did such and such, but it's looking at maybe some shaping and some molding
yeah.
and looking at the heart of our children
mm-hmm.
and looking at what we might do to try to help pull them along and point them toward the Lord and so
mm-hmm.
forth. So it's all of those things then,
yeah.
isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So you've learned a lot about discipline and you've been able to enact that as you've been rearing your two boys so far. What else is important for us as we think about how we can help our children develop the right kind of heart?
Yeah, at least one area that I've needed to focus on more of that
mm-hmm.
I've learned to focus on is my personal relationship with God and how that is mirrored in my
mm-hmm.
parenting of my children.
Mm-hmm.
The grace that I want from God or the grace that I've been given from Him,
mm-hmm.
I need to model to them or I need to teach them.
Yes.
And so it's forced me to look deeper at
yes.
my relationship with God so that I know how to model it
mm-hmm.
to them. Or then even to, so if, I guess when my boys get mad at each other,
mm-hmm.
you know, I try and think, okay, where in scripture, like what does God say about the family? And how
yes.
can I teach them that through this moment instead of don't be mad or,
uh-huh.
you know. So it's encouraged me it's encouraged me to dive deeper into
mm-hmm.
what God says,
mm-hmm.
look at how He is, you know, correcting me, instructing me, so then I can do it for my kids. That's not always something that
mm-hmm.
I thought of.
Uh-huh. So we've not gotten to a point where we've arrived, where
yeah.
we're the people we need to be and who we
mm-hmm.
should be. The Lord's working on us, and so sounds like you're saying we're using some of those same lessons with our children, and you also are mentioning modeling. So
yeah.
you're trying to, we talk a lot about how things are called as well as taught, and so you're
mm-hmm.
trying to model grace, you're trying to model that with your kids
mm-hmm.
as well. So that's a wonderful thing. You mentioned at the beginning about how in our hearts, that the scripture talks a lot about our hearts and developing
yeah.
our heart. So if we're not careful, bitterness can seep in, unforgiveness. Talk to us a bit about that and how you're trying to do that mold and shape your kids along in that respect.
Yeah. So keeping them from getting, I guess, evil
mm-hmm.
things in their heart. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know in Mark and in Luke, Jesus talks about that specifically, like
yes.
those behaviors flow out of our heart, or you know, the tree by its fruit.
Yes.
So I think there's a lot of shaping influences
mm-hmm.
that, you know, I as a parent want to influence my child, want to give them direction, but there's also other influences around them that
yeah.
aren't me. And
right.
so I know that, outside myself, you know, like obviously my sin first, if I sin and influence my child in the wrong way, I need to ask for forgiveness and
mm-hmm.
and correct that. But outside of that, I think being really cautious of who your child's with, or
yes.
even my boys are young, like TV is huge.
Oh, yes.
Or,
yes.
you know, I have friends that their kids watch YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked the other day about how there's even some things on YouTube that their kids have watched, and they're like, where did they learn that from?
Uh-huh.
You know, or why
yeah.
are they saying that? It's a YouTube video
right.
or a commercial on YouTube.
It.
Yeah. So I think trying to help your child put safeguards around
mm-hmm.
them, especially while they're young,
mm-hmm.
to keep evil things from getting in their heart.
Yes.
But then also helping them know, what do you do when you do something wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Like teaching them about forgiveness and about, you know, repenting of your mm-hmm. sin, so that they're not just stuck.
Yeah,
you know?
How we have grace. And so in some ways, when our kids act out, it's not necessarily a bad thing because we know what's in their heart.
Yeah.
And so we can kind of explore that and we can look at that. And what you're saying is almost dissect it and figure out, well, where did that come from? Was it something they observed of me in the house? Is it something they observed of their friends? And then you're saying a lot of things out there in the media, a lot of things on the internet and so forth. And so we kind of want to watch that and pay attention to those things as well. I liked what you said at the end there about forgiveness. So a lot of messing up, a lot of sin, you know, really. And so what you're saying is we're teaching our kids to come back and we repent of that and go in a different direction. Now let's hear a message from one of our partners. As the Free Will Baptist Women's Ministries Department, WNAC exists to provide opportunities for each woman to fulfill the Great Commission through her God-designed roles at home and abroad. Our Bible study treasure and accompanying resources are free and available online to assist individual women and local groups. Seminars, workshops, retreats, and Ladies' Day events are hosted to encourage, strengthen, and equip each woman. Recognizing and respecting pastoral leadership, WNAC desires to assist local congregations in implementing and encouraging thriving, biblically-based, outward-focused women's groups. We desire to work together to accomplish kingdom goals.
You're listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
So you've learned a lot from trying to bring these two up and getting ready for the third one that's on the way, haven't you? And and trying to be prepared. Anything else you want to share with us about? We're dealing with parents out there. Anything else maybe for parents? And then we'll talk a little bit about what advice you might give to pastors and church leaders as they're trying to help parents with these kinds of issues.
I think the biggest surprise for me as a parent has been that it takes intentional time. And I know you mentioned that, being intentional. The easiest thing for me to do is often not the best thing that I need to do for my kids, because I can quickly give them something to pacify whatever's going wrong,
yes.
but actually miss talking to them about it, or, you know, having those discussions where we can actually have spiritual conversations. So I guess if I was giving myself advice or giving any parent advice, is to carve out time where you can actually talk to your kids or talk with your spouse and your kids. Having family time where maybe the TV's not on, or you're doing something together where you can have those conversations, because it's challenging to find the time to sit down or to, you know, get rid of distractions.
Right.
I know that's the easiest thing that, you know, we typically struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
So being intentional
and
finding good community.
Yes. Good community helps too. Let's talk about community here in a moment. But first thing, let's go and think about Deuteronomy 6, which I know is close to your heart.
Yeah.
So it talks about rising up, and then it talks about as you go along the way and as you go to bed at night and so forth. And so that's a way we can be intentional, doing something specific when our kids get up in the morning. As we drive, drive them along the way, being intentional about the car time and what happens then, and especially at bedtime, what happens, you know, reading some scripture, talking to them about some things like that to help them along. Now, you were about to get into community, so tell us a bit about that.
Community. I think I feel especially, you know, drawn to that because Chris's family is in Michigan.
Yes.
Mine's in Georgia and Alabama.
Yes.
And so we've raised our kids away from our biological families. Yeah. And so that's been a challenge. Mm-hmm. And we've realized that when we try to do it by ourselves, or when we're not looking for advice, or we're not surrounded by families that we can look to, it gets discouraging. Parenting is hard. It's fun, but it's challenging. And so I think we've both learned that it's really helpful to us to have parents in different seasons of life to ask them questions. We love getting to ask parents that have some older kids, did your kids do this when they were young? Or how did you handle this? You know, or we have boys, and so seeing how I grew up with just sisters, and so I'm like, is this normal for boys?
Is this a normal thing?
And so that's been really helpful, and I know that that's part of D6, part of what God wants us to do as a Christian community is to help each other, mentor each other. And so I think that's vital to
us. So it sounds like what you and Chris have done too, though, is you've taken Titus 2 and you're like, that is my chapter.
Yeah.
You know? And so we have people that are at similar walks of life that are good peers for you, kids, same age, going through the same problems and so forth. But you're also talking about, like that passage says, the older women teach the younger women, the older men, the younger men, that you're talking to folks who've been through it. You know, may even have young people your age now. And so you're saying that really helps. It's really been helpful to you and something we would encourage others to do as well. Well, a lot of church leaders will listen to this podcast as well, and they'll have folks like you and Chris in their congregation. Mm-hmm. And what kind of advice would you give to them as how they could minister to folks that are about to have three kids in the house? You know, how can they be effective in helping folks at your particular stage of life?
Yeah. I think encouragement is always helpful, especially We're still newer parents. You know, our kids are younger. And there's a lot of doubt where you think, am I doing this right? Or am I doing this right or wrong? And so I think encouragement, or even if correction is needed, you know, from people at church, that's helpful. Yeah, nicely and gently, of course. Because I think, at least for me, I'm mainly focused on what I'm doing wrong, you know, or I'm not, I haven't measured up. Right. And so encouragement from a parent means a lot. Like, hey, you're doing a good job with this, or hey, this is totally normal, and this is a season. That means a lot to us. But also given opportunities for families and church to do things together, I think is really helpful. Because there's a lot of times where we may be doing different things, or you know, the boys are at a different Awana class, or there's things going on. And I think having opportunities where, hey, you know, as a family, let's do this together at church. And I think we've had moments where the boys have either sung a song with us or something that meant a lot to us as parents, but we hope with them as children, they saw, we're doing church together.
Oh,
as a family. That's encouraging to us.
So that's not just church leaders. That's older people even that you're talking about. We have a tendency, especially on social media, to talk about how this generation's gone wrong, you know, or that generation didn't get it or whatever. So what you're saying is it would be helpful for folks to come along and say, look, you're doing all right here. Yeah. Don't worry so much, or don't sweat this so much. The Lord's in this thing too, and we're here to help you. So there's a lot that can be done with encouragement, and they too can be good models. And, you know, go back to that Titus 2 passage, they're to honor, be honorable people. And so our kids can look at them as models. So you're talking about that. I liked what you mentioned there. We have a tendency for kids go to one Sunday school class, and we praise the Lord for that too, because then we can we can have our class or their own life group. And often they'll have different churches, you know, a preschool and a elementary age church and so forth. But you say it's nice for sometimes for people to come together, and so that's one thing we did at our church. We used to would have a Good Friday service and a Christmas Eve service, and we would let folks know there's not a nursery. There may be a crying kid in there. There may be even be a running kid. You know, there could be a lot of things, But that's what happens. That mm-hmm. if around a Christmas table, you know, you may have a yeah. kid to cry or whatever. We're about life. We're about young people, and it's healthy to have us all come together.
Yeah.
So maybe we could, as church leaders, we could think about designing. We have occasional services in that manner, and then we in a congregation are like, hey, don't you worry.
It's okay.
You know, my kid, you know, he bit his sister, you know, during a service 25 years ago. It's yeah. all right. Is that pretty much what I hear you saying with
yes.
that?
I think those things have meant a lot to me mm-hmm. along the way.
Mm-hmm. One last thing I wanted to get with you is you were a teacher, but mm-hmm. it's hard to be a teacher and rear the kids, so yeah. you've done something else. You're
yeah.
kind of living in a dorm.
Mm-hmm.
Helping some adult kids,
yeah.
but also you've got a photography business mm-hmm. that you're doing as well. So tell us a bit about how you've chosen some of your different career choices and how they work with rearing a family.
Yeah. So when William was first born, I still worked in an office 3 days a week, and
mm-hmm.
I really wanted to stay home with mm-hmm. him, and so I, you know, was trying to be creative and think of ways where I could do that.
Yes.
And thankfully, God has provided us those opportunities. And so I began with photography just because it was something that I enjoyed. And
mm-hmm.
God has blessed me with people who, you know, have supported me with
yes.
that. And
yes.
Chris loves teaching at
yes.
Welch and ministering here. And so this is our second year in the dorm. When we
mm-hmm.
decided to apply for this position in the dorm, we wanted it to be an extension of what he was doing at the school already. And
yes.
so at least my focus with my other jobs in relation to my family is that they would be outworkings of what we were already doing.
Mm-hmm.
So me joining Chris at the college being just a connection to
yes.
the ministry that he was already a part of. And then with photography, maybe like a creative outlet that
mm-hmm.
I enjoyed and
mm-hmm.
and using that, you know, to help our family. And so it's been tricky juggling
yes. yes,
different
yes.
responsibilities, and I've had to seek some advice. You mentioned Titus too. I had
mm-hmm.
to ask some mentors of, okay, what, how do I handle this? What
yes.
do I need to say no to and
right.
say yes to? Because my family is a priority, and I've had to keep reminding myself
mm-hmm.
of that in my activities and what I do. My children need me, and my husband needs me. So am I keeping my priorities
yeah.
in the right spot?
Yeah. But you're looks like you're finding a way to do that, which is also is a good model to parents out there. They're trying. We have to make a living.
Yeah.
One day, these kids will go to school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got retirement and so forth in the future. So there's things to think about. And so what you're saying is that you looked at your situation and you found a way to make it work to help you to keep your children and to keep Chris and
yeah.
in the Lord and all those priorities right. And it's a balancing act. It's a hard
yeah.
thing, but it looks like it's working for
yeah.
you.
Well, thank you.
Well, good.
we're trying.
So folks can go to, I think you're on Instagram, Rebecca Talbot,
yeah.
and they can go and see some of the work there. And it's also a model of how when we're trying to honor the Lord and trying to take care of our families, the Lord does provide for us and for us ways for us to use our gifts and so forth as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we so appreciate you stopping by. We know you're busy with all the things you do, but thank you for coming by and sharing with us. Thank you for being such a good model to so many of our young people and for being so intentional about doing what you can to rear your own children to follow the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you, Dr. Meany.